Chapter 16, The Future, What's in It for You? Alex, 18 years old. I want my future to be healthy, wealthy, and have lots of happiness. I want to watch the sunrise every morning with the one I love. I want to see more opportunity for the next generation. I want my children to be more skilled and more educated so they can have a better life. But first, I just want to get a good job. Becoming our own person. No matter how painful or difficult your past week was, this is your chance to decide who you want to be and how you will live. You don't have to repeat the mistakes and bad decisions of your family. Right now, you are free to build any kind of life you want. Being a kid means we are dependent on our family to take care of us. If they can't love us and give us what we need, we suffer. But as adults, we can take care of ourselves. We can be independent. We are free to become our own person. But if we get stuck in the pain of our past, it is hard to act upon our potential and promise. We let the present slip into the past. We lose time. One step at a time. So what kind of future will you create? You may look around and see adults in your life and in your community who are not living the kind of life you want to have. Maybe they are struggling just to put food on the table. Some may have gone to jail or had problems with drugs and alcohol. They may be angry all the time. They may have lost touch with their spiritual nature. You might look at these people and wonder if your path will be different. We've all felt nervous or worried about the future. It's natural. The thought of getting a job, maybe going to college, renting an apartment, and paying the bills can make us sweat. We don't get stressed. Take a few deep breaths. Remind yourself of your strength, wisdom, and resilience. Take one step at a time. How long will you live? Before you read this chapter about the future, answer this question as honestly as you can. How long do you think you'll live? Be as truthful as possible. Can you see yourself at 25 years old? How about 40? Can you picture yourself as an old man or old woman? The answer to this question is key. If you don't see yourself as living past the age of 22, you might be thinking to yourself, I might as well live large and go out with a bang. If this thought is sitting at the back of your mind, it will be very hard to convince yourself that you're worth the effort to heal. It will be tough to make the effort to live respectfully and with dignity. Is your life a stolen car? Think of it this way. If you steal a car, you would drive it fast and hard, right? You wouldn't care if it got dented, overheated, or if the seats got ripped. You had not invested in it. Easy come, easy go. But let's say you really wanted a car, so you got a job and saved your money. You worked like a dog, day in and day out. You passed up new clothes and stopped going to the movies so that you could save every penny for this car. Then comes the day when you finally drive it home. It is so beautiful, you can't believe it. You take pride in the effort that went into getting it. Are you going to smash it into a telephone pole on purpose? Are you going to let your drunk friend drive it to the store to get beer? No way. You have made a huge investment in this car. You want to have it for a long time. It's the same deal with your life. If you don't see yourself as living for more than a couple years because of your high-risk lifestyle, you will probably have a who-gives-a-shit attitude. You will end up driving your life like a stolen car. You will disrespect the rules of the road and of your spirit. You will be out of control and always on the run. If you want to have a life that lasts for more than a few more years, you have a much better chance if you value it. Life on the edge, penthouse or prison. Although you might not spend a lot of time actively thinking about your future, you probably have a lot of beliefs about what it'll be like. Lots of kids I talk to see themselves as either living the lifestyle of a professional basketball player or a professional prisoner, someone who is in and out of jail on a regular basis. They see their lives as either very rich or very poor, very famous or the bottom of society. Many kids who engage in high-risk behavior see themselves as living one of these extremes. It is easy to see why you would want to be a professional basketball player, actress, or famous musician. It looks like the good life. Plenty of money, lots of attention. In our minds, we think these people get treated the way we all want to be treated, with dignity, power, and respect. What is going on for the kids who see themselves having a career of imprisonment? Is it because by going to prison, you don't run the risk of failing at school or a job? Is it because this is just what men or women in your family do? Does prison reflect the way you value yourself? Doing time, a life on hold. George, a Dell prisoner. The first time I was arrested and sent to a detention center, I was 13 years old. You see, I wanted to be arrested. I didn't have any family, and I was looking for something, somewhere to belong. After being in the detention center, the staff and the other locked up kids became my family. I didn't want to leave when my time came. Where was I going to go? Another foster family? I would even do self-destructive shit in order to stay. When I finally did leave, I knew I'd be back, and I couldn't wait. As far as what I thought about my future, I believed what everyone always told me. I'd be dead or in prison before I was 18 years old. I thought I was nothing. I thought I was shit. I could never sleep at night, so I stayed up late doing push-ups and sit-ups, making myself as strong as I could. I figured since I was on my way to prison, then I'd be the baddest motherfucker there was. And actually, I loved the idea of it. At first, I started to feel like I knew who I was and what my future was. Looking back, I wish I had enough self-esteem and self-love to keep myself out of this hellhole rather than diving right in. While some kids put off taking the steps into adulthood by remaining at home, others do it by making sure that they will never have to support themselves by going to prison. This may sound crazy at first. You might ask yourself, who would want to be locked up? If you ask most people in prison, they will tell you that they would much rather be in their own home surrounded by friends and family. But some people who are incarcerated feel more protected in prison than on the streets. In a way, it has become a lifestyle that they are used to. For one thing, they know the routine, they understand what is expected of them, and you can't flunk out. In the outside world, becoming an adult means taking risks and challenges and possibly failing at them. If you honestly try to get a straight job but are not successful, this might send you the message that you have failed. If you are in prison, very little is expected of you. Although you are stripped of your freedom, a lot of the pressure is taken off. Tookie story. When Stanley Tookie Williams was 17 years old, he teamed up with Raymond Lee Washington to start the Crips. In April of 1981, Tookie was found guilty of murdering four people and was sent to St. Quentin's death row. Over the years, Tookie grew to regret the violence that he and his gang caused. He does as much as he can from prison to guide young men and women away from tough street life in prison. Tookie wrote a book called Life in Prison, describing just what it's like to live your life locked up. He writes about the humiliation, boredom, loss of freedom, and loneliness he has experienced. When Tookie was young, he thought it would be cool to go to jail. He wanted to prove to the world how hard he was. Back then, they called prison gladiator schools. Now he sees how messed up his thinking was. He would never live on the outside again. The term prisoner might not be a positive identity, but for many people it becomes one that they accept and understand. And as you work towards figuring out who you are and what you want to do with your life, ask yourself if this is the identity you want. Remember, the future does not arrive all at once. It unfolds in front of us and is shaped by every small choice we make. At every moment, you have the power to shape your present and your future. If you see yourself as worthy, lovable, and good, you will make choices that honor a spiritual lifestyle. Each time the thought creeps in that you are no good, ruined, or a failure, take a deep breath and let those thoughts go. Watch them float away with no trace left to your mind. Remind yourself that at your core, there is a bright, strong light. Life in the middle. What if there was another way to live your life? Let's call it a life in the middle. This life doesn't leave you in the prison or the penthouse, but it can be filled with all the joy and peace that the world offers. It might not be a financially rich life, but it can definitely be an emotionally and spiritually rich one. It might not have the glamour of a sports star life, but it can give you the dignity of a life well lived. We think of a life well lived or a life in the middle as another lifestyle choice. It means living your life with respect, trust, love, and integrity. It means you make the right choices and get your power from the inside, not from what other people think of you. Living in the middle is not about the show, false power, hype, money, or fame. It's the satisfaction you get from doing life right. Integrity, its own reward. James, Adult Prisoner. Yeah, I'm a convicted felon, but I take a lot of pride in the fact that I have become a truly straight-up person. I spent a lot of time scamming to get what I wanted, but I got tired of the bitter taste it left in my mouth. When you are straight up and honest, it doesn't really matter if things go down the way you want them to, because no matter what, you have your dignity, and being stand up is all about my honor. Honor is something that no one can take from you. Ever stood up to peer pressure because you knew that your friends were trying to get you hooked into something that was just plain wrong? Well, that's integrity. Have you ever done the right thing, like return money that someone lost even though you really needed cash? That's integrity. Have you ever told the truth even if it made you look uncool or embarrassed? That's integrity. Integrity is backbone. It's having the courage to do what is right even if it doesn't benefit you right then. Sometimes when you show integrity, you even have to pay a price for your beliefs. But integrity is its own reward. It makes you stronger. It makes your life richer and more meaningful. It is your core self showing through. People who use integrity shine with the kind of power. They know that no matter what kind of mess swirls around them, their hearts will stay clean. The ins and outs of life in the middle. Now let's get down to the nuts and bolts of life in the middle. What kinds of benefits can you get from being a person who has a fairly typical job, like a bank teller, superintendent of a building, or a bus driver? Let's say you have a family and a home. What kinds of gifts can a life like this give you? How would it feel to watch your children grow? How would it feel to come home to an apartment that you rent and see the furniture that you bought? How would it feel to kiss your partner in the evening? How would it feel to know that you don't have to look over your shoulder? You don't have to be nervous when a cop walks by. How would it feel to respect yourself because of the choices you made? How would it feel to have freedom because you are not in jail? Stop and think. Take a minute and think where you will be in 5 years. Where are you living? In the same neighborhood or have you moved on? What kind of job do you have? Are you married? Have any kids? What do you do with your free time when you're not working? Are you peaceful or angry? Work. Everybody's got to do it. One of the most important and necessary parts of being independent is your ability to be productive and earn a living. This usually means getting and keeping a job. People find careers or jobs by taking a million different paths. Maybe you finished high school, go to college, become a teacher, or you could learn a trade and be an electrician, a plumber, or a carpenter. Maybe you start at a low-level job like a dishwasher and work your way up to a waiter, chef, or bartender. No matter what path you take, at some point in your life, you will need to work. Stop and think. What are your thoughts on working? These values come from the people we grow up with. Think about your family for a minute. Do your parents work? Do they like their jobs or put up with the jobs they hate in order to provide for their family? Do they work at all? What messages did they give you about the importance and values of working? Am I my job? Michael, 16 years old. When I get out of here, I'm going to snatch up that McDonald's job. I'm going to have that nasty grease on my hands, in my hair, and in my clothes. I'm going to be rolling in that shit because I am never coming back to this joint. Michael talking about how we never wanted to be arrested for selling drugs and placed in a residential treatment center again. We think you can answer a lot of questions about how you see yourself as a worker by answering the question, if you couldn't find any other legal job, would you work at McDonald's or would you do something illegal to make money instead? I have spoken to many kids who would refuse to work at McDonald's or Burger King. They think that these kinds of jobs are for losers. They would rather be selling drugs, getting busted, and going to jail. Somehow they don't see drug dealing as lowering themselves, but working at McDonald's is beneath them. Although you might not want to work at McDonald's for the rest of your life, there is nothing shameful about any kind of honest work. But for many kids, a job like working at McDonald's triggers their feelings of shame. Standing around in a McDonald's hat, having your friends come in and see you, feeling uncool and not making a ton of money makes them feel vulnerable or weak. But in this job, you are victimizing no one. You are not stealing. You are not increasing crime in a neighborhood. You are not trading away your freedom by going to jail. You are not feeding users habits. You are not using your body in a violent or harmful way. You are making money honestly. You are dignified. The value of work. Besides giving you a paycheck, what does work offer you? Here's a list that some kids come up with. Become self-sufficient, more independent, don't have to rely on other people to get you the things you want, accomplish something, feel pride about something you did, feel like you're making something of yourself, keeps you out of trouble. Make friends. Make your parents proud. It's your money so you can do what you want with it. Self-esteem. Skills for future jobs. Working hard also gives us a sense of integrity. We know deep in our bones that we are on a good path. We have harmed no one. Perhaps we have even helped someone. In a way, working honestly and hard is like putting money in our spiritual piggy bank. It adds to who we are as people. It strengthens us. Easy money. At some point, you might have found yourself drawn to the idea of easy money. It means making a lot of money by doing very little. Sometimes easy money is illegal and sometimes it's not. Think about how many people in your family or in your neighborhood buy lottery tickets. There's nothing wrong or illegal about buying lottery tickets. It can even be fun. You get to dream a little about, what if I won? But we all know that very few people win. The chances of winning is 1 in 1,000,000. There are other types of easy money which aren't easy at all. These are high-risk games that can take more away from us than the price of a lottery ticket. These are the types of illegal activities that promise to make us rich with no sweat. Lots of kids are serving sentences on drug or weapon-related charges because they believed hustling drugs or selling guns would be easy money. Many thought, I can make my own hours. No one is going to be watching over me all day, telling me what to do, this or that. I don't have to stand around in a store all day, bored out of my mind. They sometimes even fool themselves into thinking they'll be their own boss. Soon enough, they learn that anyone hustling drugs is never their own boss. There is always someone watching what you do with their product. And if you screw up, you probably won't just get fired. The thing that these guys started to understand was that easy money isn't easy at all. Just like some people think that working at Burger King makes you a chump. They think that making easy money makes you hard, tough, or big. The fantasy of easy money usually has more to do with the lifestyle than the actual money that you might make. Maybe you have seen drug dealers driving a Mercedes or pulling out big wads of cash, and you want these things. Maybe you have seen people fear them, and you want that kind of false power. In reality, most drug dealers are dead or in jail by the time they are 30. But you already know this. The fantasy of easy money is very, very powerful, and every drug dealer has been pulled into penthouse or prison thinking. The problem is, if you got your penthouse by selling drugs, you aren't going to be staying there long. You will not have the real respect, dignity, and power that living in the middle will give you. The easy money lifestyle requires you to constantly be snaking, lying, cheating, manipulating, power tripping, and selling yourself out. It blocks you from your spiritual self and hands your power over to your supplier, the cops, and any thug who is out to take your trade. Dealing with the bumps in the road. The future doesn't just happen to us. We make the future happen one step at a time. Sure. Events happen to us. Sometimes they are good, sometimes they are not. The future isn't about what happens to us as much as how we deal and cope with what happens to us. Let's say you lose your job because business is slow. You can get pissed off and say, why me? You can sit around and blame the boss, or you can take all the energy and put it into finding a new job. You can choose to see yourself as a victim or as a strong, resilient person who has a lot to bring to another job. We will all experience hardship and setbacks. What determines the quality of your future is how you choose to deal with them. Every time you experience a challenging or difficult experience, remind yourself that this one event is not all of who you are. It is not your entire present, nor is it your entire future. Don't forget to pick up your head and see the bigger picture. We make mistakes. Let's say that you read this book and it makes sense to you. Maybe you work on some of the issues facing you and you really start to feel more control of your life. You realize that your family's problems do not have to define your life. You become more aware of your feelings and start to think more carefully about the choices you make. Caring for others might come more easily to you. Anger will become something that you control, not something that controls you. Be realistic. No matter how much you grow and mature, you will always make mistakes. Making mistakes is part of being human. We all find ourselves acting in ways that are not the best of who we are. At times, we get disconnected from the self. Mistakes can cause shame or leave us feeling like we just can't stay on track. We might get frustrated. If this happens, be gentle with yourself. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get sucked into using your mistakes as proof that you can't change or that it's too late for you to make something positive of your life. See the mistake for what it really is. One bad choice. Take responsibility. Use the tools in this book to understand what triggered you. Make things right if you can. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Remember, no mistake, no matter how big it seems, can ever destroy the goodness of self. I meant it when I said it. Many kids in jail or locked detention facilities do a lot of deep thinking. Sometimes being away from their friends and families get them to think about their actions in a spiritual way. Their lives take on a bigger meaning than they felt it had on the streets. Many kids make promises to themselves about changing their attitude or behavior. In a way, it's like they have seen a light turn on inside of them. They see the world in a new way. They make big promises to themselves and to others about staying straight, and at the time, they really, truly mean it. But when they get back on the streets, reality hits. Old friends, old problems, and old ways of coping sometimes come back into play overnight. At this point, it is easy to blow off the positive and hopeful thoughts you had when you were in detention. You might say, "Man, that wasn't really me. I was just thinking and feeling that because of where I was." You might tell yourself the lockup was not real life, or it just might be hard to live up to the goals that you made for yourself when you were away from your neighborhood. And if you think you were going back to the streets in your neighborhood as a saint who never makes mistakes, you're expecting the impossible. We all make mistakes. If you expect yourself to be perfect, you are setting yourself up for failure. It's not all or nothing. If you have read this book, the one thing we hope you get out of this is a chance to feel the power and dignity of yourself, even if it was for a few minutes here and there. At least you know that there is a place of calm, wisdom, strength, and compassion inside you. No matter what choices you make in the future, self is always with you, guiding you if you allow yourself to listen. Each crisis you face is an opportunity. It is an opportunity for you to hear the wise and loving voice you possess. In your life, you will be asked to choose time and time again. Chose right from wrong, chose the loving path or the fearful one. Chose to give or to take, chose to heal or to suffer. The louder you allow the voice of self to become, the easier these choices become. You become more confident in your ability to find the right path for you. Stop and think. Take a minute to think about the good things that you have in your life right now, even if there is very little. Try and find one thing. Maybe it is your love of music or an aunt who makes you feel good about yourself. Now think of the things that you would like to have come to you in the future. Try and stay away from penthouse or prison thinking. Think about the simple things in life that everyone can have. Think about a good meal at the end of the day, a job that you enjoy that gives you satisfaction. Maybe you have a partner you love and who loves you. Maybe it is a chance to go on vacation to somewhere that you have always wanted to visit. Write down or say all the things that you want to include in your future. Visualize these things coming to you from hard work and honesty. Open your heart and mind to the idea that you deserve these good things. Open your heart and mind to the idea that you are worthy of a good, safe, respectful life. The gift of hope. Hope allows us to see the possibilities that are lying quietly in ourselves and our futures. Without hope, the future seems dark and frightening. But with hope, we give ourselves permission to reach out for the good things in life, like trust and love. No matter how bad things have been in the past, even one small grain of hope can carry us into our future. This might sound great, but what if you still don't feel so hopeless about your future? What if you look at your life, your family, and your friends and think the future will be as difficult and hurtful as the past? If this is the case, you need to actually give yourself the gift of hope. How do you do that? Give yourself permission to believe that the future holds something worth living for. If you have a child, there is hope in the idea of raising your son or daughter with the happiness and love. What do you want for your child? More than you had? If you say yes to this last question, then you have hope. If you have a passion or an interest, there is hope in the idea of following the dream through. If you love the idea of family, but have only experienced pain and rejection, there is hope in the thought you will find a person to love and who will love you back. If you ever dreamed of accomplishing something like going to college, there is great hope in the idea of making this happen. Give yourself permission to be hopeful about the future and you allow yourself to truly live. Only you can make your unique contribution to the world. Think about it. Nobody sees the world as you do. If you don't embrace hope and unleash the power of your love, your creativity, your sense of humor, and your spirit, no one can do it for you. You cannot be replaced. The world needs your voice, your opinion, and your wisdom. You are the power source. The world needs you to help it heal. Each time you make a choice that is honest, respectful, forgiving, and loving, you are actually healing the world. Whether you think about it like that or not, you are. And each time you make a choice that honors yourself, you become a larger, greater, deeper being. This is the power of hope, and ultimately, the power of you. Remind yourself often, no matter what, The goodness of myself is right where I am.